Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, and holds a master's of science in financial services. He's got more than 27 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. Tom's also a Crown Ministries budget coach and is a business and church consultant as well. We would love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 800-386-3700. Visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up for the newsletter and make sure you check out his brand new book, just out, Knowing the Economy of God. Tom, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yes. And I am excited about the new book.
Oh, good.
I've been talking to people and they like it. So I'm encouraged.
Yes. With the cover girl.
Oh.
A different type of cover girl.
Oh, are you kidding? Absolutely. The widow of the story of the widow's mite.
Yes.
Mentioned twice in the Gospels, not just once.
Mm.
You know, do you ever wonder why you say, oh, I've already read that in another Gospel. Why is that in another Gospel? They already wrote it in Mark. Why is it in Luke also?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because it's important.
It's that important.
And God allowed it to be said twice. And she is in the Hall of Fame of Giving. And so we want her as our example of what God's economy is all about. So I think the front cover is great. In fact, Reba, Fred Smith, my client friend from Disney, created the cover.
Mm.
He did all the colors and illustrated it.
It's absolutely beautiful.
He did a great job.
And, he did.
And people can go to his website, fredsmithart.com, to see more of what he's done in the past for books and book covers and all kinds of illustrations. He's fantastic. And the music is by Ricardo Mara of Downey, California. I always want to give credit to the people that help, which is pretty much everybody. So we want to
praise
give
God.
Praise God. We want to give everyone the credit, and we love the music on Christ the Solid Rock We Stand.
So much talent.
A lot of,
to be so young. He's very young,
I
but
know.
Has so much talent.
I know. I'm over 2.5 times his age. Since we're in the economy and numbers, you
you're
know.
A numbers guy.
Yeah, I think like that.
Okay, so we're gonna jump into the first scripture that
well,
kind of anchors us.
We are. Why don't you give us, Reba? I asked Jonathan, my son, our son, you know, at the table sometimes, give us 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He knows it verbatim.
Verbatim, by heart.
Do you?
I'm very close. I'm very close.
Let's hear it.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting. And training in righteousness.
Hi.
There we go. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
There you go. You're almost as good as my son, Jonathan.
I'm almost there.
He is perfecto.
Well, maybe I can get my daughter to quiz me at the dinner table.
There you go. Then we'll have we'll have her go against Jonathan for the ultimate prize.
There we go.
Okay. And those scriptures are great because we know that God breathed the Bible or wrote it or inspired it. Same thing. It's inerrant.
Mm-hmm.
No wrongs, no fallacies, and it's useful. And for us to use it in understanding God's economy, we know that it applies to the four anchors of God's economy: ownership, stewardship, giving, and contentment. And from those, the way we do our show and our book is there's a recipe to understanding each concept. Cite the scripture, state the economic principles, talk about how to apply this to our life, and then the prayer of change, asking God to do the changing through his power. So that's the organization of the show in the book.
And it's fantastic, Tom, because there are so many different concepts about finances in our heart.
Yes.
There are so many. It's like just when you think, okay, I'm good in this area, boom, you look at the other side. There's another side. And you're like, okay, now I've got to get some healing.
Right.
I've got to move forward in this other area. So to have the anchors and the recipe and the prayer of change, that helps you walk through each one of those different aspects one at a time.
Exactly. And have you ever wondered, where did we learn all the things we learned about finances in the first place? And then secondly, were they from the Bible or from newspapers, magazines, wealthy people, our parents?
That's that gut check that you were
right.
talking about last week.
Where did we learn all the things we learned? And then we have to decide what's right and what's wrong. That's the key. So, Reba, let's open up today's program citing the scripture, Matthew 19:23.
Matthew 19:23, Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven."
Exactly. And this all flows with the program we've been talking about the last 4 weeks, entitled Greed, the Futility of Wealth. And that's our title, our kind of our subtitle, like we did in Job and mm-hmm. the Book of Ruth and the other things.
And boy, does this have a grip on Southern California.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you go, I mean, you just open a map of the world, point your finger.
Yeah.
Other places are struggling, but rarely are they struggling with greed and the futility of wealth like Southern California.
Well, I know of no richer geographic region on the planet than Southern California.
Mm.
I can argue as much as you want that Southern California is the wealthiest region or geographic area on Earth.
Even homeless people wear designer sweaters.
Yep.
I'm like, is that Armani?
It's funny.
I just can't believe it.
California is has the seventh largest gross national product against any
wow.
country in the world.
In the world?
The seventh
oh my goodness.
Largest gross national product.
You know, what's funny to me is that to be that wealthy and not be content. People are hearing that we're the seventh wealthiest, and they're like, what? How is that possible?
Yeah.
How is that possible? I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. Still not finding contentment.
That's why they need to know God's economy and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Reba, we have supporting scriptures for what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 19:23. Your voice is much better than mine today.
Here we go.
Because of my cold. So you go ahead and read them off slowly, carefully, and let people digest these.
Yeah.
Because these are some of the verses we've talked about the last month
mm-hmm.
in the series Greed and the Futility of Wealth.
Well, we're going to start with Proverbs 11:4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The second one, Proverbs 11:28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf.
Hmm.
Proverbs 18:11. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall, his own imagination.
That's right. And we've discussed all three of these verses in the last month. And most of them deal with people not trusting in Christ for salvation,
mm-hmm.
trusting in their wealth, their position, money, job title, esteem of money, that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's why Proverbs 18:11, the last word says imagination.
Mm.
Have you ever thought, or in the past, and I know I have at times long ago, wow, I've got a lot going on for me. I must be fine. I'm secure. Wrong. Those kind of things are mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Our imagination gets us in trouble when we think we can trust in something besides God for our security and our worth and esteem.
And it's not that God doesn't want us to have things.
Right.
But we can't put our trust in those things.
No way.
Because the fact is, greater men have fallen than us. I mean, there's been so many really wealthy people with more stuff than we can imagine. And it all comes crumbling down.
Absolutely. And as I transition to the economic principles, we'll see more closely just what you mean by that. And I'll try to expand on that. Here's my 10 economic principles, Reba, that close out this series on greed and the futility of wealth. And if people want to learn more about it, they can pick up the book from the website.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Go ahead and sit there. Let this sink in as he goes over these. Go to the website for additional resources.
Right. Get the book at the website,
The Economy of God.com.
What is it? .com?
TheEconomyofGod.com. There we go.
I remember. So we'll get a few done before the break.
Okay.
Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, is there salvation. There's no other way to salvation. All the wealth, all the money, the achievements, the accomplishments, that in itself cannot lead someone to heaven. Number two, being rich does not help on judgment day, nor being well or famous or powerful or a good person in the community. Apart from Christ, all those things you did, for the community, civic clubs, you gave money away. That, without Christ, will still land you in hell.
What about for the animal shelter?
Hell.
Mm.
All of that without Christ lands you in hell. Mm. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people are driving around like, wow, he's really too strong on this. It's a fact.
It's true.
It's a fact. And I warn you, don't test God on this.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, do not test God on this. All of those things, being a good person, without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go to heaven.
That's ministering to somebody right now.
It should.
Mm-hmm.
The word want, with no limit or boundary, leads to greed, covetousness, and lavishness. The word want, without a boundary, that's what happens. That's how people cross over into coveting and greed and lavishness. There must be a boundary, or we're out of control.
That's something our kids really need to know as we're growing up. See, a lot of people have attained a certain amount of wealth or have come into a certain amount of money, but they did have those days before when there were limits and boundaries on their wants. But our kids today, they're not having those same boundaries. that we had in days before.
Well, when they see the parents do things, Reba, why should they have boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't see a parent with a boundary, why should they?
Yeah, well, the parent may be like, you know, well, I grew up with nothing, so I'm not going to put limits on my wants now. Well, your kids aren't growing up with nothing.
That's right.
Your kids have never seen a limit on a want before.
And they're emulating then mm-hmm. the wrong side of the parents saying, I've arrived, it's my day, I want what I want.
Okay, we're going to go to a break, but stay with us. We've got more of these economic principles coming up, as well as the application and the most important part, the prayer of change. Stay with us on Knowing the Economy of God.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share Knowing the Economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And welcome back to Knowing the Economy of God with our host Tom Meglia. We would love to hear from you. Go to our website, Knowing the Economy of God, his new book just released. Make sure that you pick up a copy of that. We're going to jump right back into these economic principles. We're talking about greed and the futility of wealth, Tom.
Economic principle number 4, having money, assets, or things doesn't necessarily mean we're sinning. In fact, those things aren't a sin in and of themselves. You can touch a brand new Mercedes with your finger. That doesn't mean you just sinned. Mm. Or own it. That doesn't mean you're a sinner. But it does mean it's a sin if you trust in those things or identify with them about who you are and what you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sin.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that have that idea that to be close to God, they should feel guilty about everything they have.
You don't have to.
Or not have anything at all.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't do that because God doesn't think that way.
Yeah.
And again, that's how we judge what God's economy is, by reading his Bible, his mm-hmm. word. Our person, our esteem must not be set apart from Christ, though, because if we identify with our as a person, our esteem, being an adult, I'm rich, whatever, then we're saying to the Lord, you're not what I need and all I need for my self-worth and self-value.
Mm-hmm.
And that breaks Exodus 20, verse 3, where God says, I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no false gods before me. So that's the key. Having those things isn't a sin. It's identifying with them as you being a person of value, powerful, high esteem. Then you're putting them as false gods.
Boy, that's easy to do. It's easy to slip into that.
Life isn't easy, but that's why God's word separates right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a two-edged sword. The Bible says the word of God is like a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
It divides. So we need to know what it says. It's not the financial advisor, Reba, that does the teaching. I'm just relaying what God already wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm doing. Money can't give us esteem or personal value. It's not able to do what it's not able to do.
Hmm.
A true Christian must not trust in his wealth. That's a sin. Because we're saying, Lord, you're not Lord, you're not God. My money is. In my imagination, nothing can break me or hurt me. I've got too much money. I'm insulated from any problem.
And the true fact about that is once we start to allow our money to give us value and to trust in that, we lose the contentment that we would have had through trusting in God.
You got it. Bingo. A real Christian rich man, like Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. A real Christian rich man wants to share and give away his wealth for the Great Commission and godly purposes. Okay, that's what a real Christian rich man wants to do. Jesus didn't say you couldn't get into the kingdom of heaven if you're rich. He said it's hard. We must not imagine that we're safe from harm because of our money or wealth or job title or anything else apart from the Lord. Now, Reba, here's a true false question for you. A rich man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
False.
Correct. Why?
Because it says all things are possible with God.
Right.
But it also says it is as hard as a camel entering through the eye of a needle.
Right.
So it's not saying it's impossible. It's just saying it's hard.
Right.
Really hard.
It's hard. That's right. Because of the identification of a man's or woman's esteem, value, mm-hmm. ego, security, significance, that kind of thing, apart from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that breaks Exodus 20, verse 3. First commandment, I am the Lord, your God. You shall have no false gods before me. Now, as we transition, Reba, to application, I'll get into a story in a few minutes.
Okay.
But in application in real life, we need to check our standard of living to see if we are pursuing things like money, assets, and other things to the detriment of our walk with God. Now, someone said to me the other day, how do you do that? By examining our spending and seeing what we do with our money, because
mm-hmm.
that says what's in our hearts and minds, what we do, and in prayer, by asking God to search our hearts and show us the iniquity or the error in our way.
Mm-hmm.
And God will be faithful to do that.
Yeah.
So let us check our pursuits. We have to check our pursuits. What are you pursuing? What's your passion?
And almost all of us are pursuing something.
Oh, yeah.
It's rare, especially in Southern California, when you have no pursuit.
Exactly. I don't see anyone up on a hill just relaxing all day long,
no.
all night long. The great owl up there.
It is very rare.
A couple, back.
There's maybe three surfers, but
right.
they're all pursuing waves.
Something. Something's driving everybody,
yeah.
Reba.
Mm-hmm.
We have to check what's driving us so that we can see what our pursuits are. The way you do this, too, is to recall your background. Like the pain of growing up and things like that through your upbringing, okay, that can give us bad alignment. Look back on your life and say, wow, what happened when I was growing up that really steered me the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't break those habits
mm-hmm.
because I keep going back to those which align me wrong because of the pain of what happened when I was young, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go back and check these things. And Satan is trying to drift us away. And lead us away from God. That's what Satan's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so do we define success, Reba, through a false God?
No.
Some people do. Some Christians are just caught up in that snag.
Mm-hmm. Even Christians.
Even Christians.
Even Christians.
I meet with them every day.
Yeah.
And that could be a job title. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be money or position in life, net worth, income, and how we compare to other people.
Gosh.
All of those things, Reba, are snags by the devil to lure us away from the Lord.
And sometimes even they're snags by the devil to get us to hurt other people.
Oh,
God showed
yeah.
me one time, if I'm not pursuing him, I will hurt other people.
Absolutely.
But when I'm pursuing God, God is love. There's no I'm not going to run over other people and step on them to get what I need.
Exactly.
In the name of my family or in the name of my this or my that.
I know. In 1992, I'll give you a story. I was referred to a young lady that was aggressive, very high maintenance, newly married, and wanting to get all she could out of life. She was from a city called San Marino, California.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Christian, and she was very upset at her husband because he was not tracking with her.
Hmm.
She wanted the best things in life. She was brought up that way. She deserved it. She wanted it. She demanded it. She didn't get it from him. She divorced him after 2.5 years of marriage.
Wow.
Because he didn't make as much money as she did, she told me. This is what she told me in a meeting. he didn't make as much money as she did and wasn't heading in the same direction of life that she wanted to go. Her dad was very successful and well-to-do, and he didn't like the son-in-law because he wasn't as ambitious mm-hmm. as he was and not good enough for his daughter. But she married someone who wasn't going to be like that. Her husband couldn't compete with her dad or compare to her dad or make as much money as she did. She was a working girl.
Wow.
And that really bugged her.
Mm-hmm.
He was making less than she. The husband's always supposed to make more than the woman in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
In her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned to define right and wrong, good and bad, successful or unsuccessful by numbers, by money, the job title, and especially the husband earning more than the wife. At parties and events, she felt embarrassed because he had a job and a job title less than what she had or
wow.
was.
Yeah.
It made her feel disrespectful of him.
Yeah.
She didn't respect him. It ended. She divorced him.
Wow.
You're probably wondering, were they Christians? Yes. Why do you ask? Christians do these things, Reba.
We still have to deal with our emotions and our flesh.
Absolutely.
And our upbringing and the world around us.
Exactly. In the next 6 or 7 years, I was coaching her, and I've been introducing concepts to her from God's economy to help reset her thinking.
Mm-hmm. And she's open to that.
She's been more open than she was because she looks back thinking, wow, I did love the guy.
Oh.
That was one tiny little problem.
That she forgot about.
That she forgot about before I go to the prayer of change.
Yeah.
And have you close today's program. One tiny little issue. She loved him.
Heartbreaking.
Her dad didn't. And she was from a background that did not expect or accept his kind of work. You know, she was way above him in rank mm-hmm. and intelligence and mm-hmm. job title, earning power, everything. That did not go well in her set, her community.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think she sees the error and the wrong.
Yeah. There's nothing like, you know, 5 or 8 years post-divorce to make you see things completely differently.
You got it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Reba. Lord, we pray that the word of God, your word, will change everything about us now and in the future. By your power and love, Lord, not our flesh. Change us, Lord. Give us the courage to do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer of change, then we'd like to get some resources into your hands. Log on to theeconomyofgod.com. We have a newsletter. Tom's new book is out. There's some other concepts and economic principles in there that we want to get into your hands. So log on theeconomyofgod.com. We'd also love to hear from you. If you'd like to set up a meeting or an appointment with Tom, if you're looking at your finances, you have a small business or inherited some money, if you've got some things working for you, if maybe things are just going so fast, things are growing so much that you want to stay grounded, you want to stay focused on God in this big whirlwind. Tom is your guy. He's got the years of experience and a heart for God. So give him a call at 800-386-3700. Log on theeconomyofgod.com, and we'll see you later.
To Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.